This is the Entrepreneur Show, where every week we are joined by people behind some interesting businesses. And this week it is the turn of Paul Lindley. He is founder of the children's food brand Ella's Kitchen, named after his daughter, and the toddler toiletries brand Paddy's Bathroom, named after his son. Paul is also the author of the book Little Wins, The Huge Power of Thinking Like a Toddler. Paul, a very good morning to you.
Hiya, Julia. Thank you.
Well, you know, we were talking before our mics went live. You certainly don't talk like a toddler.
Oh, we can, but do you, for the next half an hour. What we want to do in the next half an hour is be confident and imaginative and free thinking like toddlers are. Let's go for that.
Right. OK, that sounds pretty cool. But we don't splash paint on the walls or anything like that.
No, we're thinking. We're going back to the people, the best version of the people that we once were, and trying to. What my book is about is the rush to grow up that we have. We tend to think of everything in our childhood as childish. And there are many things that are childlike. We learn so many skills that are relevant as to us as adults, to us as entrepreneurs and business leaders.
Mm, because when you actually look at the book, what you've done, I've got the press release here, is that you've broken it down, The Little Wins, because that's the title in the book, Little Wins, The Huge Power of Thinking Like a Toddler. 9 little wins. Be confident, you've just said. Be creative. Dive right in. Never give up. Get noticed. Be honest, show your feelings, have fun, involve others. These are great ideas that people say work very well in the classroom. It's very difficult when you get older and you're working with adults to translate that, because in terms of showing your feelings, for example, in the corporate world, that might be seen as a sign of weakness.
And then I think that is completely wrong, because I think we want to encourage everyone who works for us, or as entrepreneurs ourselves in our businesses, to be passionate about what we do, to really enjoy and show that we enjoy what we do. And if things go wrong, to express those feelings as well, because otherwise we get miscommunication and we misinterpret each other.
And it's healthy to feel free to say, look, this is not working. It benefits the business.
Yeah. And you know, that taps into creativity we think of as these big bolts of lightning. But actually, it's creative just to ask questions and then question the answers that we get. So why do we have this meeting on a Monday morning? Why is that machine there? Why is the carpet blue? All of those sort of things will free up ideas. There's a fantastic story I've got that a friend of mine took his 5-year-old to his work last summer. And she's quite precocious and she asked lots of questions. And it was many of those questions. Why is that man grumpy? Why is that lady on the phone? What's that machine for? And he thought about it that evening. And the next day they worked out they hadn't used that machine for 6 months and it was on a lease. So from the thought of a child, just an innocent question, if we did that in our day-to-day lives, we would just question the routine and the structure that we have and think differently. And we need to think differently to find solutions in our business and, in society in general, frankly.
Sure. And it's funny as well, because the first of the wins is being confident. And we like it when we see young children being very confident, because we feel, well, okay then, if they can hold themselves this well at the ages of 3, 4, or 5, then they will do well as adults. But then when you meet an adult who is very confident, who shows no sense of fear, we interpret that as arrogance.
Mm. Well, there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance. But if we are going to set up a business ourselves, if we don't believe in ourselves, then why would we expect anyone else to believe in ourselves? And it's really that first step that you take on that entrepreneurial journey. You want that to be a solid, confident step. And my point is, we just talked about toddlers as they. Well, toddlers were us. Mm. And what I'm saying is, go back into yourself and remember that time when you did something that was really confident, when you didn't know how to dance, yet you went on the nativity play stage, or all of the other things that will happen. And that's you. And you can do it. You can take that confidence from your inner confidence from when you were a toddler and take that first step.
But I suppose it's also finding the courage to do that, because we're told that, that's it, you're now a grown up. Start acting like a grown up and not like a child, even though the other contradiction is there's still a bit of a child within us, but it's only supposed to be shown in certain circumstances.
Yeah, and that's what I completely disagree with, because we just get conformity then, and we need outliers. We need new thinking. You know, if you're an entrepreneur, you're trying to do something that's never been done before, whether it's a complete innovation or whether it's sort of price or your marketing strategy that's different. Mm. You're trying to do something that's breaking into the market. And if you think like everyone else has thought, and if you think like a herd, then you're not going to be successful. And our society needs to encourage much more creativity and different thinking, and give people the confidence to act upon that to produce better businesses, to produce the solutions that of all the serious problems that we have around.
Mm, but clearly, you do have your inner child, and you have carried that with you. Before you went solo as a businessman, when you were working in a corporate structure, how did people react to the inner child when you actually stood up and said, actually, that I don't really think that's a very good idea, or why are we holding this meeting in this room at this time? Yeah. It's convenient for you, but it's not convenient for everybody else.
Well, before I started Ella's, I worked for Nickelodeon. So
a children's
channel. So we were encouraged there to think like a child, and a child is our core consumer. And both of those businesses, and especially with Ella's Kitchen, I set out to have a culture and an environment that was childlike. And I think there's a very big, huge difference between childish and childlike. Let's be childlike. Let's have that imagination and the permission to question things. Have a culture that is fun, that people want to be at work, that they're not seeing a work-life balance. They're seeing a blend, and the values that happen at work are the same values people have at home. And your mission within your business and the purpose of the business isn't just to make a faceless shareholder profits. It's for you to enjoy and self-develop yourself and contribute to an overall mission that you believe in within your work. And that's how companies make money, in my view. It's about people being engaged and the money follows the people.
Yeah, and it's a great idea, and I can see the value of this. But then, just to play the devil's advocate, you could have somebody who says, well, look, it works in your business, but it's not necessarily going to translate to an investment bank, for example, or perhaps in a car factory or something.
Well, I would disagree. I would agree that the way we interpret fun, for example, may be different. But you surely, an investment bank wants people to want to turn up to that bank. They want people to think differently so that they can get an edge on their competitors away from the mainstream thinking. That they want people to stay there a long time and encourage their people to join them. And all of those things are very human-like. You know, they're toddler-like. They're almost innocent attributes. And, you know, the rewards that people value most, I think, are the internal rewards, those of mastering something, those of feeling connected, those of having independence and autonomy. If those sort of things are in an environment of a workplace, whether it's a bank or a baby food company, then people will want to work harder and longer. So my thing is, if people understand what their function of their job is and they understand what the mission of the company is, then they're connected, and the company will deliver its mission, keep people longer. People work. So happy people are more energised, more productive, and you make more profits. Mm.
And clearly, whatever it is you're doing, it is working, because I think that you were up there with a Sunday Times survey as one of the fun places to work.
Yeah, and our business has grown from a startup 11 years ago to the biggest baby food brand in the UK now. Ella's Kitchen's in 40 countries around the world. We've won all sorts of awards. We're hugely profitable. We grow 10% plus every year. And triple-digit growth we've had for the first 6 years. So it is an example of a business that's come from nowhere, that is now the dominant player, that's beating all the multinationals, that has kept to its values and kept to an environment and a culture that is lived day in, day out. And I think that's the way that we've won. We've thought childlike. We've encouraged people to do teamwork and involve each other and have fun at work. And that's how we get the innovation ideas and the permission to fail as well as succeed and really disrupt the baby food market. And that's what we're very proud of.
Is that how you see yourself, as a disruptor?
Yeah, I think entrepreneurs are brilliant disruptors, but also activists, because I think my journey of being an entrepreneur the last 11 years, the colleagues and friends that I've got that have gone on a similar journey to me, all of them have started their business for something other than I'm going to make a lot of money. They have a mission, they have a purpose within their business, and that's what drives them. And the trick is, if they can get their teams to believe in that and to see how their job affects that, then these businesses grow. And every single one of them that have been successful has had that mentality.
Mm. And let's look at this journey, because you were at Nickelodeon. So had there always been this desire not to work for other people, to actually produce a unique product from which everybody benefits?
Yes, I think business should be a force for good in society. I think the idea that capitalism develops shareholders that are the 1% and all the wealth goes to the 1% is something that's unsustainable. And so we're very proud at Ella's Kitchen, for example, to be one of the UK's first B corporations, which means that we've changed our articles of association now to be not optimising our shareholders' return, but optimising stakeholders' return. So in our management of our company, it is equally important to us our effect on the environment and our way we treat people as it is in delivering profits. Clearly, we need to deliver profits to be able to do anything. That's what drives me. That's what I started Ella's for, to be able to show that business can make social change.
But the desire had always been there because I mean, you worked at Nickelodeon. You had a very successful career. Mm. And there are people who, once they get locked into that lifestyle, it's a bit difficult to break away from it, to go solo, because there is this sense of walking into the unknown. There is a possibility of failure. And let's face it, nobody likes to fail.
Well, I take issue with that second part. I think failure should be part of a journey. And I think when we live in a culture where failure is seen as just a bad, then we'll all be frightened to failure. But if we learn from failure, if we adapt, if we use failure as prototypes, then we advance. But my thing when I was in a very nice job and everything was going well was I had an idea that I felt I would be more disappointed in myself if I didn't follow it through and saw somebody else do it than if I followed it through and failed. And I thought I'd have learned so much by doing that. I could have done an MBA for 2 years and learned equal amounts. So and I'm sometimes perplexed when I talk to people and they say, I want to be an entrepreneur, because I think you have an idea and then you decide whether you want to follow that through and you become an entrepreneur. I'm going to be an entrepreneur without an idea, I think, is a difficult journey.
OK, then we're going to take a slight break. But just in case you've joined us, I'm talking to Paul Lindley. He is the founder of the children's food brand Ella's Kitchen, named after his daughter. We're going to talk about Ella, in fact, and also the toddler toiletries brand Paddy's Bathroom, named after his son. We're going to talk about Paddy, too, in a few moments. My name's Juliet Foster. You're listening to Share Radio Morning Money. And on the entrepreneur section, I'm joined by Paul Lindley. Now, Paul is the author of a new book, Little Wins: The Huge Power of Thinking Like a Toddler. But more importantly, he is the brand behind Ella's Kitchen. This is the children's food brand. Ella's Kitchen was named after his daughter. He's also the force behind the toddler toiletries brand Paddy's Bathroom, named after his son. I did promise that we'd actually talk about Ella and Paddy before we look at the rest of your journey to actually founding these enterprises. But I mean, how old are the kids now?
17 and 14. And it goes kind of like that. It seems like yesterday when they were toddlers themselves.
And they're quite cool about it. But if any of their friends say, oh, look, that's Ella's Kitchen. I mean, my mum uses that, or my brother or whatever.
Yeah.
And they turn around and say, actually, I'm the Ella.
Quietly proud, I think. Quietly proud, yeah.
So they're not embarrassed, because teenagers are often a little bit embarrassed
and a little bit cool, I think, it all together. But I hope what they've learnt from my journey is, you know, you should do things that you enjoy, and you should you know, test yourself and aim high in life.
So there were no reservations about using the names of the kids in the brands?
No, I thought we're just a normal family, and I thought we would be able to resonate with other normal families as a parent to a parent rather than a company to a consumer. Mm. And, you know, as long as we were authentic and people could trust that we were just an ordinary family, as we are, that's built into the heart of our both brands.
And it does have that ring to it, because when you think about Ella's Kitchen, I have this vision of a little girl trying to cook and making a mess but having fun. You can't be cross, because they're doing it for the right reasons. And Paddy's Bathroom, again, exactly the same thing, trying to tidy the bathroom, creating a bit of a mess. But I guess that's what it was like.
It is. I mean, Paddy's relatively new company. The whole idea there is, you know, toddlers and babies should go out and explore the world. They should get dirty. It should be fun to get dirty, but equally it should be fun to get clean as well. So let's make the bath time fun, but also make it gentle and natural and not have chemicals in there that some other products have that are corrosive on skin. So and Ella's is exactly the same. So I worked out there's a need for them. I worked out the best way to convince people to get a trust was to just show how we use them as a family and how it helped our lives.
Yeah, and branding is everything at the end of the day. So that, so having these children's names, very, very powerful to draw that connection, that bond with the customers. And when we roll back, you left Nickelodeon, you decided to go solo, and you must have been greeted with a fair amount of scepticism because you had companies producing baby food. You've got instruments designed to help us produce baby food in the kitchen, which is organic, and yet you still pressed on. How did you overcome that scepticism?
I guess I looked at my inner toddler and had that creativity and confidence. So, you know, I'd never started a company before. I hadn't been in the food industry before, but I was a parent and I knew what worked when I tried to feed Ella. Fun, silliness, mess, games, all of those things made her giggle, relaxed my wife and I, and we popped a spoon in her mouth. And I thought, well, feeding a baby is all about stimulating all of its senses. It's not about the taste of the food. It's about stimulating all of its senses. So that's what our brand became about. And, you know, the journey has grown and grown and grown.
Mm. So Ella's was launched successfully, and then you decided to move into Paddy's bathroom. So again, what prompted that?
Well, I knew that, through Ella's, whose mission is to improve children's lives by developing healthier relationships with food. That's what we do. We make baby food, but we also make cookbooks for people to cook from scratch as well with their children. Mm. I knew that that was helping people's lives and introducing organic food and a fun way of having food. And I thought those same people, those same families in another part of their life will be concerned about the synthetic stuff that's in shampoos and bubble baths and about getting their kids into the bath and having fun in the bath. And I thought, you know, if we can get the same trust and the same reason to believe, but also that to create a business from scratch that had a social purpose to it as well as a profitability purpose to it. And what we do with Paddy's is we've got this program called Drop by Drop, whereby every drop of water that the consumer uses, a family uses with our products, we create a drop of safe, clean water in Africa for another child.
Mm. So again, it's getting people to think about something as simple as water.
Yes.
We take it for granted.
Yes, and I think that the point that I hit upon was all products in the baby world, to me, when I was a first-time parent, seem to be very functional. Buy it because it does this. Yet we are at the most emotional when we have young babies and toddlers. And I thought we should work with that emotion, hence, you know, relating to a real family, you know, and hence the language and the colours and everything that we use in our packs. But the scepticism was certainly there for both brands. And, you know, delving into a market where you've got a completely different kind of packaging that's ever been there before, that, you know, you're selling organic and everyone's advising you that it should be muted colours and it should be pastels of green and brown and stuff that says organic. And we went bright colours because we wanted to engage children. Mm. All of those were gut feels that, you know, were pretty binary decisions for me. And I go back to being a toddler. You know, toddlers are very, very binary. They're very easy. They make decisions easy, which we prevaricate against sometimes as adults. And they know what they know, and they don't care about what they don't know. So I sort of thought about that. I thought, let's simplify decision making. Let's go with gut feel, and let's try this. And we'll, if it fails, if bright colours on packs of baby food fail, then we can adapt. But if they succeed, I've got an edge on everybody else.
Mm.
And they succeeded.
And I guess as well that whenever we look at things for children, adults tend to have this very preconceived idea of what children like, the sort of colours they like, the way they like to dress, etc. And how often do we actually consult the children themselves?
Yeah, well, exactly. And also what we tend to do as adults is believe that they're, you know, we've got a goal and there's a destination and there's one route to get to that goal. And we get into process and systems and things like that, and the workplace is full of them. Yet children are very good at divergent thinking. 98% of three-year-olds can think divergently, which is a sign of creativity. By the time we're 25, 2% of us think like that. So 96% of us were once creative and are no longer using creativity. So what young children do is they find different journeys to a destination. And, you know, that can translate into business very, very simply. There, I can tell you, cornflakes, safety matches, crisps, Viagra, penicillin, all of these things were invented and are now used for something other than that they were invented for, because someone along the way thought, well, we'll go down this other journey.
Yeah.
And this is what it should be used for. So using that child, thinking like that young toddler that you once were, and enjoying the journey and working out that there are different ways to get to a solution might take us away from some of our routine, some of our processes, and help us think a little bit more broadly.
Yeah, so reconnect with the inner child rather than bits of that inner child.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, you touched on there about how you've used Paddy's Bathroom to actually raise awareness about the value of water in developing societies, etc., which leads quite nicely to the key. So is it part of that, the social enterprise venture?
No, that's completely separate. The Key is E.
So tell us about the Key is E.
The Key is E is a charity and a social enterprise that is supporting African entrepreneurs whose businesses help children. The E's around entrepreneurship and education and trying to get African entrepreneurs who have fantastic ideas that help children to develop them. So there's workshops and accelerator programs and mentors and things like that. Some grants to try and show that Africa, where the rest of this century, an extra 4 billion people will be born into Africa. So there's going to be an extra 6 billion people born into the world. Most young people will be in Africa in the next 50 years. And where there are young people, there's innovation, there's energy, there's new ideas. So I'm very optimistic from an entrepreneurial point of view that Africa's economy is going to do so much better in the next 50 years than perhaps it did in the last 50.
So this is Ella and Paddy's way of making new friends abroad.
Well, that's it, yeah. All play nicely together.
Exactly. And tell me about the Veg for Victory campaign.
Well, that's a great articulation of how I think business should do social good. A core part of our business, a core part of our mission, as I said, was to improve children's lives. So what we've done, we've taken the credibility that we have, taken some of the influence that we've got, and certainly some of our profits, and we have commissioned research around children's weaning and how vegetables should be introduced as early as possible in children's weaning. We got independent research done, and I've spent most of my last 6 months really talking to politicians and talking to the Department of Health and Public Health England to try and get the NHS to take on board this latest advice that if you do veg first, veg frequently and veg in variety, then children will grow up with a less sweet tooth, they will like vegetables from the very beginning, and will have less of an obesity crisis later on as those children continue to like vegetables throughout their lives. So that's, you know, and by doing that, we get the trust of our consumers and our staff, because that's what we say on the door. This is our mission, to improve children's lives. That's what we're using our credibility to be able to do.
You are the force behind two hugely successful brands, Ella's Kitchen and Paddy's Bathroom. What difference has this made to you personally?
One of the things that I constantly do is, so Ken Morrison gave me this advice once, who founded Morrison Supermarkets. He said, he pointed my feet and he said, keep them on the ground. And he pointed my head and he said, keep that in the clouds. And that's what I try to do. You know, I'm incredibly lucky, and luck is a huge part of business, and we shouldn't ignore that, to be in the fortunate position that I'm in now. So being humble is really important. But dreaming and asking why not, and why is the impossible impossible, because sometimes it's not, thinking divergently and all of that stuff is what I encourage my children to do. It's what I try to do every day. So every day I try to find something and ask why not. Why isn't that something else?
That's fantastic. So never lose that inner child. Paul Lindley, thank you so much. He's, of course, the founder of the brands Ella's Kitchen and Paddy's Bathroom. He's also the author of the book Little Wins, The Huge Power of Thinking Like a Toddler. It's published by Penguin and costs £9.99.